Lord bless you, Caleb. All right, maybe somebody else wants to say something, give a testimony. All right. Well, I enjoyed the song today, the special. Kimberly, you are doing really, really well. And enjoyed your singing and your talent on the piano as well. Okay.
Reminded me of my grandmother. She used to live with us and sing that song in her room a lot. She's at home waiting for me, and I'm just waiting to get there to see her, but most of all, see my Savior, and I thank Him for saving me.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, Sister Sampson. Someone else.
Brother Brent, I never felt like I have a mansion, but I have a place. It don't have to be a mansion.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you," didn't He?
He did. Yeah.
All right. All right. Anyone else? God bless you, Brother Strode. All right. Well, we're glad to be in the house of the Lord today, and we've enjoyed the singing and the testimonies, enjoyed the prayer. We do feel very much the need of the help of God as we stand before you today. And I've selected a passage of Scripture from the 4th chapter of the book of Acts as my reading lesson for today. If you have your Bible with you and you'd care to follow along, I'd be glad for you to do so. We're going to begin in Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I'm going to conclude my reading there, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to base my thoughts today upon the latter phrase from the 13th verse that I just read in your hearing. And that says that these people to whom Peter and John were speaking took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And I want to talk today about the design of the church. The design of the church. I do need your prayers. I feel that we're living in a discouraging time. We have all been looking forward to getting rid of this virus, to where that we can all come to church. I'm sure there are people watching today by Facebook that if it were not for the virus and the threat of the virus, that you would be right here in this building with us today. And the projections are that it's going to continue to get worse for a little while. But I don't want us to be discouraged. I want us to look to the Lord Jesus. And He's able to help us. He's able to strengthen us. And He has promised to meet with us. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, there will I be in the midst of them. And so, though we have some restrictions upon us, we're still, as I say most every Sunday, we're doing the very best that we know how to do to keep the gospel of the Lord Jesus going out from this pulpit. And we want to take courage. This is not going to last forever, but we need to be faithful, you know, in doing what we can, while we can, for the honor and the glory of God, and doing it in the interest of lost souls. So having said those things, I want to begin this morning. Now, we all are aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus, while He was here in the world, established His church. He said in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we could begin at verse 13, where the Bible says that they were in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And of course, they said, "Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, answering for the group, said that. And Jesus said that, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I quoted that verse of Scripture in order to say this. Jesus built His church. He founded it. He established it. In fact, the Bible said He is the chief cornerstone in the church. And I read in your hearing where the apostles said to that group of Jewish people, those Sadducees, he said that this is the stone which was set of naught by you builders. But He has become the head of the corner. So Jesus built His church, and He built it with this promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that simply means this, that the church of the Lord Jesus will continue in this world until Jesus comes to receive it unto Himself. It has perpetuated. It has come through times that were far worse than the times in which we're living. The church has been persecuted, it has suffered greatly down through the years. But because of the Lord Jesus and the promise that He made, it is still here. And I preach that there has never been a day since the church was founded when there was not a working church in the world. A working scriptural Baptist church. And Jesus founded it. And He said it would not go out of existence. The gates of hell would not prevail against it. You know, men are saved and become members of the Lord's church, and they live a few years and then they die. Well, the church was designed in such a way that there would be other people, younger people even, that would be saved, and they would become a part of the church, and the church would just continue. The gates of hell, death itself, cannot keep the church of the Lord Jesus from preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. We have a powerful witness in this world. You know, the church was designed to be a witness, for Jesus. Jesus said in the last chapter of the book of Luke, ye are my witnesses. And He said, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And we know that the church did that. They went into Jerusalem and they went to the upper room and they had a prayer meeting up there. And they were praying for the empowerment, the power that Jesus promised that they would receive. And so they prayed, and the Lord fulfilled His promise. He sent the Holy Spirit upon the church. Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1, He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so they went to that upper room, they prayed, and the Holy Spirit came. That empowered them as witnesses. That made their witness effective. This was a short time after this. When Peter and John, they went up to the temple to pray. The church, I'm going to get this in before we get too far. The church is a local congregation or assembly of baptized believers. So Jesus, we read in the Bible about them coming together, you know. And they had meetings. They would meet together upon the first day of the week, you know, as a congregation of or an assembly of people who had been saved and baptized and who were in agreement, in fellowship, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines teachings with one another. They were an assembly. And that was the first church. And that's the only church that was in existence at that time. Jesus set up the church in Jerusalem. And there was just one at that time. And they would come together. And they would worship. And they would preach the gospel. And there was a great witness to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to that power that He had promised that He would send upon them. We know, though, after a while, because of the persecution that they were experiencing, that they were scattered abroad. The church was scattered abroad except for the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And the rest of them were scattered abroad. And the Lord provided opportunities for the apostles to go into other places and to preach. And God began calling other men to preach the gospel. And they were ordained and sent out by the authority of the church. And they would organize other churches, New Testament churches, churches of exactly the same kind. They would continue to preach. And so the gospel has been spread throughout all the world. I maybe could go into greater detail, but I don't think it's necessary for me to do that at this time. But, you know, they had the influence. And they had, a witness, a powerful witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, Peter and John, you may want to read the third chapter of the book of Acts, but they went up to the temple to pray. And as they were going up, there was this impotent man. He was crippled. He didn't walk over to the temple and sit down. He was carried. He was impotent. He had no power within himself to even walk up to the gate of the temple. He had to be carried. And he begged for a living. And so he asked for an alms, that is, for some support, some money. And Peter looked at him and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible said, before he said that, though, he said, "Look on us." I want you to get that statement. Look on us. We should, as a church of the Lord Jesus, we should be glad and thankful to have the whole city of Bowling Green to look upon us, to see us as we assemble together to worship the Lord. To hear us when we pray, to hear us when we testify, to hear us when we preach the gospel. That's what Peter said. Let me have your attention. Look on us. And then he began, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible said that Peter reached forth his hand, and the impotent man, he took him by the hand. He reached forth. He wanted what Peter was offering to him on that day. It says he reached forth, and then immediately his feet and ankles received strength. And he arose. And he began to rejoice, and he began to run and to leap and to praise God because the Lord had made him whole. He before was not whole, but then he was whole, and it was done by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the witness and through the testimony of the church of the living God. That's how it works, folks. That's how it works. We are witnesses. We testify. We preach. And we hold forth the word of life to everyone who will reach forth and take it. You know, the Bible says in the book of Philippians, and I don't know if I can get it together without turning over there to it or not. But he said that we are holding forth the word of life, holding it out. So they said, "Look on us." And he did. And he was made whole as a result of that. Well, now these unbelievers. Now there's a lot of unbelievers in the world. I tell you that if the world had its way today, they would shut down the preaching of the gospel. They would shut her down. But I want you to know that the Word of God is going to prevail. The Word of God is going to go forth. It has gone forth throughout all the world. I preach this too, that the church of the Lord Jesus is the most successful institution that has ever existed in the world. It started out with Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And then he began to add to the foundation of it. The apostles and the prophets. And the church began to grow. And there was the first church in Jerusalem. Then they went down to Antioch, and a church established in Antioch. And then another church and another church. And it just kept growing. And then the church, went through a very dark period of time. What is known as the Dark Ages. But they wasn't able to extinguish the light. The light kept on shining. And that's the scripture calls the Word of God the light, of life. And we hold forth the light. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I'm telling you, the world needs to see, and they need to hear, and they need to listen to the things that we have to offer. I don't want us to get discouraged, but I want us to keep on keeping on and hold forth of the Word of life here in our community and in our city. Well, these unbelievers, they called them into question. They said, "By what power, what authority did you do what you did?" And Peter said, "Well, it wasn't us that did it." He said, "It was by the through the name of the Lord Jesus, and it was through faith in the name of the Lord Jesus that you see this man standing here whole." He said, "We didn't do it. The Lord did it." And so they arrested them. They kept them overnight. Now, that one verse of scripture that I read there a little while ago, I want to make a comment about this, the fourth verse. It said, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word, believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. Now, it seems to me, and I could be wrong, but I just want to share this with you. It seems to me that among this crowd of people, there was about 5,000 people that were there. But it said, "Howbeit, many of them, of that 5,000 people that were there, they believed and were saved." It might have been 5,000 that were saved there. But it seems to me that the crowd was about 5,000, and of them, many believed and were saved. And it says that the rulers, they questioned them. And Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. I really believe that the Holy Spirit still abides in the church today. I believe that the very same power that came to the Jerusalem church on the day of Pentecost dwells in the church at Fairview Memorial. I believe the very same Holy Spirit. It was a gift to the church. "Tarry ye until you be endued with power from on high." He said, don't try to do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, but when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, he said, then you be witnesses for me. And I believe that if you're saved today, I believe that Holy Spirit lives within your heart and in your soul. I really believe it does. But listen, I have to hasten along. He said, if we be examined this day of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And listen to what else he said. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, you know, I think that we've grown timid as a church, as the people of God. I think that we have, you know, the Bible said the Lord didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of love and a sound mind. And I think that the circumstances around us that we're living in today has created within us a timid spirit. I think that the world today still needs to see some boldness out of God's people. You know, the Lord speaks to every individual's heart, don't he? He speaks to us personally. And when he speaks to us, we should be bold. And we should be able to speak forth for the Lord. Talk about the Lord and talk about what great things that the Lord has done for us. And in testimonies, you know, that's what a testimony should be. It should be about the Lord and not about us. You know, and so we need to have boldness. It said they were ignorant and unlearned men. Now, they were not stupid, and they were not ignorant. They were not trained in religion. They were not trained. You see, that's what the Bible said about the what happened on the day of Pentecost. Those men, they were preaching in languages that they didn't even know. And the Bible, that's why they were so confounded by what was going on. They said that these are ignorant and unlearned men. They hadn't been trained in the Jewish religion. That's why they called them ignorant and unlearned. But I tell you, they knew Jesus. And they knew the power of the Holy Spirit. And they were not timid. They were not backward. They were bold, and they began to speak forth. And it says that that they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. The world out there, they need to be able to see and recognize in us and in our conversation, our speech, and in our worship, in our testimony, that we have been with Jesus, that the power of the Holy Spirit lives within us. Well, I've got a couple of more points I want to make, so I guess I better move on. Jesus built the church. And I've tried to explain what a church is. It is a local assembly, a local assembly. The church is not universal, it's local. It's a local assembly. And Paul and others, as they wrote the New Testament, they addressed their epistles to the church at Ephesus, a local congregation, to the church at Colossae, a local congregation. John the apostle, while on the Isle of Patmos, he wrote 7 letters. He wrote a letter to each one of those churches in Asia Minor by name. You know, the church at Sardis, the church at Smyrna, the church at Laodicea, you say, the church at Philadelphia, local congregations of baptized believers. And so that's what the church is. And they come together. And they worship the Lord. And you know, the Bible says this. As Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he said, I give thanks for you every time I think of you, you know. And he said and I guess I may have to go there. I can't quote it. And this is what he said. Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made me meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know, that's what happens when you're saved. That's called regeneration. He delivered us from the power of darkness, from the state of being dead in trespasses and in sins. And He translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptized believers, people who have been converted, changed, been made new creatures, unite with the church and are baptized and become a part of the fellowship. That's who the church is. And it's visible. Remember, Peter said, look on us. You know, there's no such thing as an invisible church. No such thing exists. We are members one of another. We are part of the body of Christ. Now, not the literal body of Christ, but the mystical body of Christ. You know, the representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are as a church. You know, the literal body of Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But the mystical body, the body that represents Him, are sitting on the pews in this building today. Not all of them, but some of them are. And so, Paul said, know ye not that you are the body of Christ? And he said, we are all members, one of another. And we don't all have the same function. Some do one thing, some do another thing, you know. But we all work together. And we serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. And the world can see us. They need to see us. They need to hear us. And so we're a visible body. And, you know, with boldness, we need to make ourselves known. And so people will take knowledge that we've been with Jesus. Now, Peter and John, there was no doubt. The people looked at them and they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. And you know, the church is a spiritual church, a spirit-filled church. The church is spiritual by nature, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's where we get our power. That's where our influence comes from. It's from the Lord that dwells in us. And he said, tarry until you be endued with power. Endued means supplied. It means endowed. It means it's given to you. You know, that we can have influence and we can be a spiritual witness for the Lord. And he said that we should not quench the Spirit. I think all of us do that. And we shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. When the Spirit moves upon us, we should be bold enough to stand up and testify or to do whatever the Lord wants you to do. You know, we should be bold enough to do that. He said, quench not the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed until the day of redemption. Being a child of God is not a temporary thing. From the time that you are born again, from that time throughout all eternity, you'll be a child of God. It's not a temporary thing. We need to share our testimony, the witness of the Spirit, the witness of the effect of the Spirit in our lives will influence people. It will influence people. I guess I'll close. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful thing. He is a powerful person. I don't mean to imply that the Holy Spirit is a it or a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he has power. And we need to let him work through us and work in us so that we will be able to influence people. So they'll take notice that we have been with Jesus, that we're not a part of the kingdom of darkness. You know, the kingdom of darkness sure is at work in this world in our day. It's a mighty force. But I'm telling you that the kingdom of righteousness is more powerful. It is more powerful. And if we just let the Lord use us for his name's honor and glory. If you're here and lost, I want you to know I'm interested in your soul. I want you to be saved. That's why I preach and why I'm preaching like I did today. I want you to be influenced by this church and by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells and works in this church. We're not pretending. We're not pretending. Salvation is real. It's something that you can feel. It's something that you and you alone can possess. I mean, as a person, you can have the Holy Spirit in your heart. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And you can know it. And you don't have to ask somebody, do you think I'm all right? Do you think that I'm saved? No, you don't have to ask anybody else. Because when you're saved, the Holy Spirit lets you know that you have passed from death unto life. How does he let you know? Well, he takes the condemnation away and he gives you peace with God. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, that is past. And I want you to know, I want you to get saved. And I want to encourage, and I And I hope you don't think I'm fussing. I'm not fussing. I'm just trying to emphasize how important it is for us to let the world see and hear that we are the children of God and that we have something that's worth having. Salvation's the only thing that'll take you to heaven. It is the only thing. So I want you to know I'm praying for you. I pray every day for you. Sometimes I pray more than once a day. Now, I don't mean that I get out on my knees every time and pray for 15 minutes. I don't do that. But there are a lot of times when one of you will come across my mind, and whatever I'm doing, I'll begin to breathe out a prayer to God for you. I want you to get saved. You know, there are times when I do bow and pray perhaps an extended prayer. But you know, prayer is the sincere desire of the heart. And you don't have to get on your knees to pray. You can pray driving. You can pray walking. You can pray washing dishes. You can pray while you're running the vacuum cleaner. But we always ought to, you know, have a special time and a special place where we pray, you know. But we pray for the lost. We want you to be saved. So I'm going to close. That's my message for today. And it's, let's be bold in the Lord, folks. Let's be bold. Let's don't be backward. Let's don't be ashamed. And I know, you know, the Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, I know we're not ashamed that we're Christians, but maybe sometimes we're just timid and we're backward. If someone asks us, are you a Christian? We'd say, yes, I am, you know. But sometimes maybe we don't let our light shine as we should. So let's try as a church. Let's try to be bold. Let's try to be visible. Visible. Now, I don't mean put on a show. If there's anything I despise, it's somebody trying to put on a show. You know, because this thing's real. This thing's real. There's no show to it. It's real. And so I just want us to, be a powerful church, folks. And we can be. We have been. And we are. And we can still be, you know. So I pray God will bless the message today. Anyone have anything on your heart before we close?